Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast where we take the current affairs out of current affairs. This is also a podcast in conjunction with Sowetan Live. I'm your guest host for today, Simi Mabote. Hi, everyone. My name is Simi Arif. I'm a podcaster. I'm also Rams' friend.
South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns, with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs.
Today, Rams has asked me to interview him about his new book that he has called The Sweetest Taboo. Now, to be honest, I could get someone to do a citation reading about you, Rams, right? And they can list your bio and they can tell you what you've done and where you did it. I'm going to tell you how I know you.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you about this book. So I know Rams because I was addicted to radio when I was younger. So I've always known you as a broadcaster.
He just told you I'm old.
But when I got into this building, Arena Holdings, and started working with you, I've only ever known you as someone who I find incredibly funny and as a satirist to me, right? I've only ever known you as that.
Yeah.
So when I see a book called The Sweetest Taboo, and then I see two cherries on the front cover, I'm going, this is the wildest Jimmy Money gag I could ever think of. And then you sent me the book. And then I read the first two chapters. And as a Muslim person, I must say, we have pushed the levels of my faith. Because then I skimmed the book.
Yeah.
And wow, it is right. Indubisi Ngobo is incredibly correct in it when he says this is South Africa's own 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey, but in black and white.
Yeah.
So anyway, I want to start with, why did you choose to write a book like this?
Firstly, Simi, thank you very much for interviewing me.
Have you ever listened to the show
podcast
before?
Never. I've never been a guest on this show. So this is funny. Mm. I love it, but thank you, mate.
No worries.
So there are two reasons why I wrote this book.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe three. But, one is that in 2008, I was in Australia.
Okay.
And I had traveled to New South Wales on business.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I kept on thinking, this experience is wasted. I'd like to tell people about the New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
But I could never write a factual book because who cares?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn this into fiction.
Yeah.
But then question would be, why erotica?
Right? Well, that was my second question.
Well, that's then the second answer to why.
Yeah.
Because we have made erotica too much taboo.
Mm.
And that's bad. It takes out the humanity out of us. Mm. It's as if we are all these things. We can be politicians, we can be critics, we can be footballers and rugby guys and whatever, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Our lives end above our belts.
Yes,
nothing happens.
Yes, of course.
And here's a lie. Let me tell you a lie now. As we speak now, as somebody's listening to us now, somebody could be listening to us on in a horizontal position.
Yes.
As they're listening, right? So it's real. So that's reason number two. Reason number three, and I said this at the launch, this is my coming out book. I'm trying to remind the world again that
You smash. I'm just like, no. I read the book. If it's based on you now, I know it's a little bit of an autobiography, smash.
This is the end of the interview. No, I'm saying to the world, I am not that one-dimensional, serious guy who does current affairs and stuff like that. Firstly, in the last
almost 2 years now, I've introduced you to SETA. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that, one part of me that people never knew. Mm. Now I'm also saying, actually, I'm a creative writer and I can write about erotica.
I was shocked, Rams. I'm not even joking. When you, I did not know what the book was
millions.
About. Yeah. I did not know what the book was about until you sent it to me.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I was at a braai last night. Lots of people at this braai. And I was like, oh, cool. My mate's book was released. Because you're my friend. Right? So I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to read my friend's book. Then yeah. I was like, how Gabby, how Morati. Then I'm on page 173. I'm like, why are we using other words for the vagina that other people... I was shocked that you wrote this. Uh-huh. So I want to ask you, this is clearly not an autobiography. It's fiction.
It's certainly all of it. But except the towns that I traveled.
Except the towns.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But where did you go? Smut sells.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Smut sells, especially in the publication space. Yeah. It is. It hits the spot, but I want to know where you're just like, part. I need to. Yeah. It would be funny if you said I'd hit the G spot. But I want to know where you're like, okay, cool. This needs to be in a book. This needs to be a book.
It's because, so the first book of erotica I read.
Mm-hmm. Mills and Boons.
No.
Mills and Boons.
No. James Hedley Chase.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was in my teens.
Yeah.
And the truth is, historically, up until now, mm-hmm. when you have to read erotica, it's not South African.
It's never South African.
Not the content, nor the author.
Mm.
And that is where I went, but why? Why can't we be the guys who tell these stories about ourselves and show that we actually are as human as anybody else? And that's why I decided to travel the road less traveled.
I mean, it's pretty brave. Also, how long did it take for you to write?
You're going to be shocked by
this.
So this book was written during COVID 2020,
okay.
2021.
Hey, there's no better lockdown love than a lockdown love.
I had nothing else to do except to eat, write, and drink all the alcohol on the shelf. And I completed all three.
in the first lockdown, the first phase.
In the first
5 weeks.
I promise you, that first 21 days,
mm-hmm.
I think I wrote more than half of this book.
Wow.
And here's the reason.
Yeah.
The book was always written in my head.
Mm.
I kept on postponing until I was gifted time by circumstances. What else are you doing?
What are you gonna do?
So I started sitting down and writing what was in my... In fact, I was transposing what was in my head
onto the
pages. That's all that happened. And so I sat with it for a long time, though, because you'd ask, why now?
Mm.
Well, two reasons. One is that I committed an author's mistake of trying to read my book again and again, and I started doubting it until I had to let go of it.
Yeah.
Like, give it to somebody else
and let them
look
see
at
what
it.
They do with it.
And then part two is that when everybody had looked at it and they said, cool, I couldn't find a publisher.
Ah.
South African publishers would not touch the book.
Mm.
And you may guess why,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I don't know.
And then somebody introduced me to a woman called Melinda Ferguson.
Yes.
And said, listen, I think this woman would like this book. Well, that was a huge understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did she love this book, she decided that we co-publish it as partners. Oh. So we put 50-50 money on to putting this book out together, Melinda and I.
Mm.
So she is into this book big time.
You know what the one thing I did enjoy about the stuff that I did read is that, and you said now that you wanted to show a different side to you, which I want to disagree with slightly.
Yeah.
Because the book is also funny. The book is also funny. It's just a great, funny, smart story.
Yes.
And a South African smart story, because I actually didn't pick up on that, because I've just always known that smart is a South African thing, and we've just never written about it. This is one of the few times I've actually seen it. But I just think that it's got your humor written throughout all of it, which I love.
I love that too, that you could spot it.
Because you can see it.
I can't do without humor. I'll die.
You'll die without it. And the story is pretty intriguing. But I want to know when you shared this, because at the first page in the intro, you say, for my late parents who won't read this book, very lucky.
Yeah, very lucky.
Very lucky. Very lucky. Because I can tell you, if my father's still around. And if I said pussy,
like what?
Yeah, exactly. And my children who can't read it yet, which I found hilarious from the get go. I thought it told me that the book was going to be funny from the beginning.
Yes.
And you think that that's an intrinsic way of you writing and the persona that you are.
Yes. So, what I could not lose in the book is Rams. People must see it from the beginning that this is how Rams would say things anyway, even from those acknowledgements, right? So, my daughter is 16.
Yeah. Selfie Saturdays.
Yeah.
People must know. Search the hashtag on X and Twitter. Saturdays. Selfie Saturdays.
Exactly. So she can't read it because of the SNL.
Mm-hmm.
But at the launch, interestingly, everybody was saying, but why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, and the fact that I speak about everything with my daughter. Mm-hmm. It's not like we don't speak about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I still think the reason why erotica is different from porn is mm-hmm. that it is written with responsibility, mm-hmm. care, love, respect. Mm-hmm. So that is there. So mm-hmm. I don't think that she would read this and think, oh, you know,
my father.
Yeah, or yeah. even think, I will mm-hmm. never do this again. Yeah, you know, yeah. This is horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and therefore, I'm contemplating. We had
How many years of school she has left?
Two. Hey, it's not long, mate.
Hey, dog, let's hope this doesn't become a New York Times bestseller. It'll be like, hey, your father, the one that wrote that thing.
Made from your lips to God's ears. I hope it becomes a New York Times bestseller.
I wish it for you then. Yeah. I wish it for you then.
But my son is 22.
There we go.
He came to the launch.
Yeah.
He listened to all the sex talk at the launch. And
you didn't heckle you. You didn't heckle
you. He's like, I'm proud of you.
If I was your son and I was there, I would be like, you learned that move from me. You see the one where he kisses there with tongue? That's my move, that. But Rams, I want to ask, is this the beginning of a smut series?
It is.
Okay.
It is. I have decided I'm going to be the South Africa's king of erotica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Yeah. And if they have to
somebody must do it, right? And I'm hoping other people follow suit, but whoever follows will be number two.
Oh, that's great. Now, Rams, let's say they're going to convert it to a movie.
Yeah.
Tomorrow they're just like, yo, Rams, we read this book. It was great, cover to cover.
Yeah.
All my friends have read this thing. Melinda says, you know what? I've got a person. We want to make a movie.
Yeah.
Who's starring?
I have not thought about that. Firstly, I know that they have to be in the mid to late 30s.
Okay, so Dr. John Carney is out.
He's completely out.
You out as well.
Force myself
yeah, you out as well.
Right?
You out
so
as well.
It can be any of those guys, but I'm sure there are amazing young South African actors out there that can become Morati, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll find them. I don't know who.
Sure. Yeah. Rams, you should start thinking. You should really start thinking. This could be.
Well, I should. You're right, because I also then shared a copy of the book with somebody from one of the streaming
services.
They promised me that they're going through it and they'll speak after reading it.
I just want to bring your attention to the three people you dedicate the book to.
Yeah.
Right? These are your friends.
Yeah.
Can you tell us how they made the dedication list? Because I'm sure you must have sent the copies in and between them quite often for referencing. Or at least to show them what you've written.
So every chapter I would write, it would go to them. So it's Lindiwe Khuzwayo, a friend and ex-colleague of mine, and Nyeleti Magadze, a friend of mine, right? Actually, she also has been a colleague before.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look, I'm writing this thing. I'd like you to go through it. Firstly, because you smart women who can read, but also because you are women.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be careful that this does not demean women.
Well, that's where I was leading to.
It's very important that it's women who read this.
Mm.
And therefore, by the way, you holding a book that's 69,000 words long, they read 120,000 words of a book.
Hey, they chopped out a lot.
Before Melinda, the third woman who then became my publisher and editor, chopped half of this book. But I promise you, Melinda chopped half of a manuscript to make this an amazing book. Even I read it after she chopped it. And I thought, I think you were talking too much, Rams. No, get to the point. I mean, she was like, who cares? You're writing erotica. People want to read about that, right? Stop telling them about how the door was painted red and how it was 3-4 centimeters wide. Like, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's good that you have the conscience of sharing the stuff with woman, because you know sometimes as a creative you go, I've made this thing, it's my thing, of course I'm going to edit it, but I could really care less what the perspective of a woman is. I just think that it really helps sell the book,
especially because the reader in my head was a man, right? But then I take it to women. And I tell you why the reader is a man in my book. Because men don't read, for starters.
Yes.
So men, you know, we like to take ourselves seriously. We talk about Brent crude oil.
And I don't know about you, Rams. Me, I read. Nora Ephron's Heartburn.
Well, you are different. That's why you're sitting here, right? I would never have given you this opportunity.
You know, Nora Ephron, she used to be a writer in the 60s. And her book was Heartburn. And she... Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
And I think it's Harry Met Sally, but I could be wrong. Anyway, I haven't laughed as much when it came to, and that one wasn't even smut. That was exactly, more of a love story, right?
Yeah, it's romance.
Exactly. But if I had to ask you, why a layperson, right? The podcast will be published.
Yeah.
Why a layperson? Why they should listen to me before you to go out and buy this book? What would be the first reason, other than it's the best funny smut you read, and I'm trying to be the king of erotica?
Again, there are three reasons why I must read.
Well, these three reasons are important.
One is because I'm really trying to take sex out of the taboo line.
Mm. Did you say there were 69,000 words?
Yes.
Like 69 the position.
I never thought about that.
Yo, Rev.
That's what Melinda cut it too, right? So we blame that one on Melinda.
It just clicked for me now. I was like, yo, wow, this guy is
bloody
really...
Melinda, yeah, right?
This guy is deep. 69. He's deep with the game. Yeah. Okay, back to those three reasons.
So, yeah. I am hoping that we could take sex out of the taboo lane and and make it mainstream.
Yes, speakable.
Yeah. Two, I wrote this book to express myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I find that even I ended up boxing myself into this world for a long time until I started the podcast and I realized, actually, this is me, man. Then thirdly, why we should read this book. And it's, for me, this is very critical. It is because we have been portrayed by other people all along, especially from an erotica point of view. And in fact, to be honest, most of the time when a black man is portrayed this way, it's fetishized, right? Mm. Yeah, we made this hunk and whatever, and something is 12 meters long and blah, blah, blah.
It's a tripod.
And they last 4 hours. Absolute nonsense like that.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, no. We're still real people. We still enjoy life and we still go through all the things that are in this book. Politics, you know, childbirth, travel, all those things that are in this book. It's not, you're not going to open this book.
There's even Muslims in it.
Right.
First two chapters, man, Muslim people are mentioned.
Listen, man, there's the Catholic nun in this book that almost went the wrong way.
In fact, when you described one of the Muslim guys, are like, Rams, I think he wrote about me. Tall. Handsome. Wait a second.
This guy, I wrote about a real guy that I met in Dubai years ago.
And he features in the book.
He fitted this image and I thought, I'm going to transpose him into this book.
Oh, I hope he never reads it. He'll be like, that's me, that dog. Anyway, Rams, my final question to you, right? Next week, you'll have another podcast out, taking the Rams by the horns. You'll be back sitting in the same chair behind the same microphone.
Interviewing a politician.
And let's say they walk through the door now, and then now you're speaking to them saying, I need to hold you accountable for the corruption that you've done.
Yeah.
And say, before you do that, Rams, page 234, read for me. Will you be able to take it like a man then?
Well, firstly, it's my podcast. You're not here to interview me about my book. You're the only person who gets that privilege, right? And that would be a serious deflection. I'll give them a free media handling education to say, don't deflect.
Don't deflect. Stay. And also, I didn't know you read, Minister.
Right? I'm impressed. In fact, you know what? Now that we're going to December, why don't you buy 10 more for your colleagues?
Okay, Rams, tell us where we can actually get your book as well.
Well, you know, as they say, all respectable bookstores
That's great.
Have the book out there. I was chuffed. A friend of mine said, I'm in Somerset West. I'm at the exclusive. I didn't find the book. It's like, yeah, but it's Somerset West.
What are you going to
say? However, in respect, Somerset West ordered the book and she has the book in her hand as we speak. But everywhere in the country, all respectable bookshops. And of course, I'm on the roadshow now speaking to book clubs. As I speak to you, I did one this morning. I've got about 5 more lined up.
Do you have to read a chapter at the book clubs?
Yeah, and I always find something sanitized to read. They always want me to read. And I'm like, but... Buy the book and read it yourself.
You can
read it in my voice if you want to, but don't make me.
If you do need someone for the audiobook.
Yeah. That I can give to you.
Okay, I'll be ready. I'll use my sultry voice over there. I'll be like, Morati and Gabriel started the tour by driving. I'll be there. ASMR vibes. Rams, thanks so much for allowing me to host your podcast this week. And I hope
thank you for doing this job.
Anything for you
for a change, when I don't have to interview anybody or rent on my own, right?
I know that you do say at the end of your podcast that people should hire you for your MC services.
Yeah,
they should go to www.ramsmaboti.com. There we go.
See me.